From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he concludes a message with the title, Evidences of the Lord's Presence Among His People. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to listen to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, A Shepherd Secures Them. The text is found in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 13. They shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Recently, we thought of the afflicted and poor people whom the Lord left to be a living seed in a dead world. The prophet says of such that they shall not work iniquity nor speak lies, so that while they had neither rank nor riches to guard them, they were also quite unable to use those weapons in which the wicked place so much reliance. They could neither defend themselves by sin nor by subtlety. What then? Would they be destroyed? By no means. They should both feed and rest, and be not merely free from danger, but even quiet from fear of evil. Sheep are very feeble creatures, and wolves are terrible enemies. Yet at this hour sheep are more numerous than wolves, and the cause of the sheep is always winning, while the cause of the wolves is always declining. One day flocks of sheep will cover the plains, and not a wolf will be left. The fact is that sheep have a shepherd, and this gives them provender, protection, and peace. None, which means not one, whether in human or diabolical form, shall make them afraid. Who shall terrify the Lord's flock when He is near? We lie down in green pastures, for Jesus Himself is food and rest to our souls.
By the quiet water, near the flowing stream, to the rolling meadows, tender shepherd, lead me. Make me lie in pastures, shelter me. From harm, hide me by your side,
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts, entitled How We Got Our English Bible. This short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. The focus of this message is Joshua chapter 22, verses 31 to 34. When the 9.5 tribes heard that the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had built an altar of their own on the east side of the Jordan, war was averted only when Joshua learned that those tribes had built that altar as a memorial to God and as a reminder to their children that they were part of the people of Israel. In our text, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, responded to the happy outcome with these words, "This day we perceive that the Lord is among us." This truth is one that should bring great encouragement to the people of God. In this day and age, how can we recognize the Lord's presence? As Dr. Cairns has been showing, the first mark of God's presence is a preeminent emphasis upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the presence of the Lord will keep His people pure in doctrine and in practice. There will be a faithful adherence to the truth of the Scriptures, as well as worship which is worthy of the God of heaven and earth. Next, God's presence among His people will unite them around the cross, regardless of their natural differences. This is the true unity of the church. Finally, an evidence of the Lord's presence will give believers a passion for the welfare of people's souls. It is of the utmost urgency for God's people to plead with the Lord to presence Himself among them. Now to conclude this message, evidences of the Lord's presence among His people, here is Dr. Cairns.
Should there be emotion in Christian service and Christian worship? Yes, there should. The preacher who cannot weep over what he preaches, in my opinion, should never preach. The Christian who does not feel as the result of his worship, and does not feel as the result of his hearing of the Word, is either under the wrong ministry or is sadly departing from God. Yes, there should be emotion, deep emotion, real emotion, that will break our hearts before our God. But, and this is the all-important thing, that emotion must be the product of a direct sight of the person, the glory, and the work of our Redeemer, and the revelation He gives us of our God. It's easy to work on people's emotions. It's easy to tell a sob story. It's easy to learn the little psychological tricks to pull the psychological triggers that will produce certain emotional results. But in the long run, all they will do is burn people out and leave them destitute. But all let our emotions in our worship be called forth by the presence of God, purely pointing us to Christ. That will be not only an uplifting but an edifying, strengthening experience that will make us more and more the people we ought to be. The presence of the Lord keeps us in the purity of faith, keeps us in the purity of worship, because where He is, we will worship in spirit and in truth, and keeps us in the purity of life. The presence of God here kept these people from sin. I realize this, as you know, we're on Sunday evenings looking at the law of God, and I've been thinking a lot about it for a long, long time now. Just last night, as I was thinking and praying, thinking of the nation and what the nation needs, and thinking this morning again of how men are going mad, and they're getting worse and worse and worse. What could you do to stop this downward mad career? Well, we could pass new laws. Some people think the Congress shouldn't get involved in moral legislation. I think that's utter rubbish. The sooner they start passing moral legislation, the sooner they'll stop passing immoral legislation. So I'm all in favor of it. But that's not going to make America moral, because the very enunciation of moral law simply stirs up the passions of the ungodly man to do the very things he's commanded not to do. And unless you put the whole nation to death, all the legislation in the world is not going to do anything but make it more difficult for them to be immoral. What is needed? I realize what is needed is the vibrant reality of the presence of God with power among His people. That's what keeps people from sin. You remember the Lord's presence even restrained the heathen Abimelech from immorality. God kept him back from sinning. It's the presence of God that makes His people pure. So this is the second great evidence of the Lord's presence among His people. The third is that He unites His people around the cross despite their natural differences. I want you to get that. Despite their natural differences, God's people are made one around the cross. Phinehas expected to meet division. Instead, he met around the altar of witness, pointing to the altar of sacrifice. He met in unity with those of like precious faith, and he attributed that to the Lord's presence. See what this means. The Lord kept them back from needless conflict and concentrated their firepower on the strongholds of the enemy. I would to God we would recognize that today. We see it in the New Testament in the book of Acts, the unity of the church around the altar, around the cross, around the person and the work of Jesus Christ. They were all of one mind. But as Paul wrote to the Philippians, they all minded the one thing. What was the one thing? The one thing was the person and work of Christ crucified and risen again. All that was the unity of the early church, and that's why Satan attacked them at the point of their unity. That was what gave the evidence of the presence of God. Can I say this to you today, that a fragmented church is ineffectual? I have no time for false unity. There is no biblical reason for us to have anything to do with the false unity of the ecumenical movement or the charismatic movement. There is no biblical basis for church union where Jesus Christ is not held in His person and His work. Unless we hold to the common head, there is no ground for unity and for fellowship. But where he is held as the common head, where there is a meeting of souls around the altar, there is no reason for lack of unity or lack of fellowship. The presence of God brings his people together around the cross. I've just come down from the 20th anniversary services at our church in Toronto. It was a Free Presbyterian church. It was a Free Presbyterian celebration, therefore, you would say. But if that's all it was, we'd have been better not having it. Thank God it was more than that. I think there were two Free Presbyterian preachers, Dr. Paisley and I preached, and there were three Baptist preachers, Dr. Jones, Dr. Rod Bell, and Dr. Ken Connolly, who, by the way, God willing, will be coming to preach for us in the next year. One of the greatest preachers that's ever been my privilege to hear. What a meeting. Different persuasions in church government. So many things that would divide us. You think of a Bob Jones, and I say this reverently and honestly, Dr. Jones is a man of immense learning and deep culture. You think of Rod Bell. Rod Bell was raised in the mountains of West Virginia, and he loves to tell you, I'm a mountain boy. And if you heard his stories, you would understand he was a mountain boy. But we all meet around the cross. Blessed be the tie that binds God's people together. That's the evidence of the presence of God. On the local level, let us recognize there are so many things that would make us differ, and the world wants to play upon those things, and the devil wants to play on those things. Your class, your culture, your background, your education, your color, whatever it is, the world wants to make God's people focus on these things and hive off one from the other. But the presence of God will bring God's people to the cross, together around one common mercy seat. We will worship as sinners, sinners saved by grace alone. It's the evidence of God's presence. Let us not grieve his presence away. The final thing I'll say in that, with this I'll close, that the presence of the Lord gives his people a passion for the spiritual welfare of souls. The 2.5 tribes were concerned about the souls of their children. The Lord's presence created a determination in them and then in the 9.5 tribes that the message of the altar and access to the altar would not be shut off from them or from their children. What a glorious evidence that the Lord is among his people when they begin to develop first a deep passion for their children. And I'm not talking about what the normal American thinks is a great love for his children. The normal American thinks a love for his child is, doesn't matter whether he divorces or not, it doesn't matter whether he breaks the kid's heart through his lust and his pride and his arrogant selfishness, as long as he turns in his monthly check and does his monthly visitation. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not a passion for your children. If you had a passion for your children, it would keep you from the strange woman or the strange man. If you had a passion for your children, it would keep you from spoiling them with the filth of this world. If you had a passion for your children, it would make sure that you wouldn't let them sit down in front of some of the most hellish muck and mire that the devil can put into your home by the television set. If you had a passion for your children, you would have a passion for their souls. What was it that evidenced the presence of God among these people? They desired that their children would have access to the altar. That's what evidenced the presence of God. That's a true passion. You'll never have a passion for any other souls
until you develop that for your own family. You can't tell me that the man who can sit back at ease in Zion while his children go to hell has a passion for people in Congo or Vietnam or China or any other place. That man doesn't know the first meaning of a passion for souls, who has no such passion for the souls of the very children God has given him. This is where a love for sinners starts. Concern for the family, then a concern for sinners in general. How do you get that? From the presence of God among his people. That's where it comes from. That's why in revival the church is such a soul winning force. It has a passion for the lost. Why? God has come. Do you see now why I said right at the beginning, the presence of God is the most important thing for this church? You see now why I said I wish with all my being we could always say what Phineas said, today I perceive that the Lord is among us. I believe we have certain evidences of the Lord's presence. Christ is preached in his person and his work. Bless God for that. But let us not neglect any of the other evidences of the Lord working. May he keep us in purity in our belief and in our behavior. May he keep us in unity. And may he give us a passion will burn like a mighty fire to see the lost won for Christ. The evidences of God among his people. Do we perceive them today? Do we feel them today? Let us not rest on anything else. Let us not be satisfied with anything less. Lord, give us the evident tokens of thy presence with us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Write it on all our hearts. And, O God, we pray that thou wilt give us evident tokens of the presence of God in these ordinary things, in the everyday work and life and witness of this church. And then, O Lord, in the more extraordinary ways, in the mighty movements of revival fullness, O God, give us, we pray, the tokens and the proof of thy presence powerfully at work in our midst. Save the lost, restore the backslidden, revive thy work, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare. Hear us, we pray, and part us with thy blessing, keep us in thy fear. Grant that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit our Comforter, may be our abiding portion both now until Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.